Larry's Tim's gate. You got that resolved out, right?
Larry's taking care of it.
Okay. Annual meeting date, time, and agenda. We got that taken care of. Cabin supplies. Okay.
Taken care of.
Okay.
Sheldon Honey, either he's Sheldon Honey's home teacher. I need to know, prize-wise, we have an envelope that we put in with the ballot that we send back. Do you want to send it without a stamp or with a stamp?
I would say without a stamp.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
we have sent them
people
with
can do
if members want to vote and mail it in,
they
want to
vote,
they can't spend,
they can do a stamp.
Okay.
50 cents.
We'll have to jack up their assessment, and then they'd cry. And
can we look at the ballot a little bit? If you
okay.
gave you each one, I put this deer on there.
I like that.
So that it can't be copied. But if you'll feel down in the corner, there's a stamp there too.
Oh yeah.
Feel it.
I didn't get one.
Hey.
So there shouldn't be any question on that. I'll give you one here.
Great. And I saw that you said one ballot for each lot, so we don't have somebody doing one ballot for 10 lots.
Yeah.
That way we keep better track of each lot.
Then we should take off the S on lots.
Okay.
Yeah, they would need a ballot for every
I vote
lot.
For a lot. And then maybe even put a note at the bottom that says,
each lot needs a
each
ballot.
Each lot, not
right,
a ballot.
I had that right.
Well, I did that.
Yeah, somewhere I saw
somewhere.
That. Present official ballot for each
one
vote.
One vote per lot.
One vote per lot. Yeah.
Maybe we should put one ballot per lot.
Do you want me to say that?
Yeah.
Yes. One ballot per lot.
Okay. There are some who have not paid assessments. When they get this, they may want to. I'm going to send their ballot with a red mark on it, and I'm attaching a little note that says, please be advised of the policy of Deer Springs Ranch Rental Association. If you have not paid your dues, you are not allowed to submit a vote. We have enclosed a ballot marked in red indicating that if this ballot is counted, it must be accompanied by a payment to bring your account current.
Great.
Good pull. Right on, Guido.
Thank you.
Nail their kneecaps to the floor.
Hey, you gotta get that money.
With the deer on there, and my papers already have these stamps. I've already done those.
That's great.
I just need to run it through. You can touch it and know if it's a real ballot. There shouldn't be a problem. Then if we can assign a committee, or we can just pull from who's there at the meeting to count and recount how many times they choose. The stamp on this, I did an impression so you could see. Candace Bose supplied us with that last time.
Yeah.
She's the one that made this stamp, and I thought that was a very, very good idea. So these are the ballots. Look them over. Tell me what I need to change in the ways, like ballots.
What this is going to do is,
I think you should say somewhere on here, maybe even down at the bottom here, official ballot, do not copy, only original will be counted or something. So it's... Because somebody could kind of say, oh, yeah.
At the top, it says, this is the official ballot. Just put in a do not copy right underneath, I think.
Yeah, somewhere.
Or copies will not be counted.
Copies will not be.
If somebody comes to the annual meeting and is there in person, they're still going
to
need to use
the
form that they were given to vote on.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a Xerox copy that they can just pick up and vote and hand it in.
Right.
That's going to... Well, we're putting the responsibility back on every member.
I don't think you should possibly do that, because there's so many people... come to the meeting and they
want to
lift everything before they
place
it.
They can certainly
bring their paperwork.
They won't have that.
No. Well, if we're expecting that, we're going to have to say something like that. This is your official ballot. It has a seal in the lower right-hand side. Copies cannot be made. You'll need to bring this ballot with you.
Yeah, they just need to know.
To cast. I mean, we need some real clear
okay.
instructions, or people
will
be
total
bent out of shape.
That's
the media.
That's right.
I think we're okay, because basically what we have, even if they're copies, we still only have one ballot per lot, so we have traceability. So
well,
there's no way
we can
that
have
they
a list
and the
mark.
And this is the the election. Where's the? We need to put the initiatives.
There. Yeah, those have to go on there too.
Yeah, Larry.
Yeah.
A thought on ballot accounting.
Uh-huh.
Take one of my maps and tick off lots.
Yeah. You should be
a big paper thing. You know, as you grab a ballot, you can take put a big old X right through the lot.
Ballot should be numbered.
Yeah, then it's numbered.
Right. Right? No, don't you think so? If you're going to only allow one ballot per lot, yeah, they ought to be serialized.
We should number each ballot that goes out.
But I'm not sure
that falls into the same problem.
I like Vance's idea he just mentioned. While we're counting ballots, we got his map there, or even just a list.
Yeah, we should have a list of
305, and we check. Okay, here's the missing ballots. And no, we didn't get two in for this one. If you had a list there that had the lot number, the registered name, and then just a box for us to check as we went through them quickly, I think we could make sure there's no duplicate ballots. That's our effort.
Then we should just have a stack of these available for
people to
get them.
I think if you get up there and there's a lot of them.
As long as we have our list.
And they don't have a ballot. They're going to be unglued if they can.
Yeah, I'm not going to stamp those that we have up there so that we will know that.
That's a good idea. But, you know, they're up there.
Stamp
they turn
them
in and sign them in our presence. I mean, we verify there's not one already turned in for their lot.
Right.
That's pretty.
I would say the ones that we have here, then we just mark them specially.
Well, I'm fine with that. It's just a matter of
color paper.
Who's going to do all that? In the past, the board is carrying on the board meeting and making their board reports and.
Yeah.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Is when you.
We're not really available to do it.
No, I don't think we can.
We can't do it. It's got to be somebody else.
Well, we ought to try to get two or three members assigned to a committee for counting votes. Some people that we know that would be up there.
Collect them out of the meeting at the time of the meeting. We'll just say, you, help out.
Yeah, help out. Even in the past,
you could coordinate that.
Can anybody help counting votes and stuff here? If Linda's the one, though, kind of coordinating the process, okay, you take them and you mark the X.
It was not even America last year.
We're going to try that. We're not going to go through that. This year.
We're not going to do that.
No.
Not happening.
No.
At what point in the annual meeting next month are we going to actually take the vote, hand in the vote? I mean, I know some will come in as they come and that, but there is going to be some discussion.
We should do a set a time in there that says.
At what point will that happen? And then.
We should have an agenda.
I mean, if it says in there, you can have your board members run and give a few words, and then.
I'll see if I can write up an agenda. I'll get an agenda.
That agenda needs to go out with the letter.
Yes. Oh, I won't have time.
It should.
It needs to.
Okay,
so,
now.
And we need an agenda to go with your letter Monday.
When are you sending the letter?
It's got to go out.
Monday.
Oh, I can't.
I mean, there's a lot of things that should go in that letter that we need to decide. If Dustin's proposal should go in there.
Well,
the ranch proposal, if we're going to do that. All those things have to be in there.
But I agree with Taylor. If you had a copy of the last two or three years' letters, that would be a really good start. But
so far, the information.
We have to give an agenda, you know. And
you can email me that, and I can. That would be easy.
And anything we have to.
Oh, let me see.
I'm still on a conference call.
Does anybody have some copies so they know where they are of last year's?
I'm pretty sure I do in my files. I've just never looked for them.
I'll bet Barbara's still got stuff on the computer that she could email you.
We should have a
probably in a file too.
We should have a file cabinet with all that stuff from 10 years ago.
She does. She has all the. I have last year's, and she has all the stuff.
We need to get that into you. All of it.
Well, we talked about that, and she kept it for a while. So, at some point, yeah.
There's been Dustin's proposal. There's the ranch house improvement package proposal.
And I think it should be written up similarly or to explain how we're going to fund it, where is it going to go.
We've had one member request a proposal to
disband the association, which...
And I would think if he's going to do that, he has to explain what would be the results of that.
What's happened in the past is to be on the agenda or to have a petition brought before the membership, we've required 10%.
If the board agrees with it, it's on or else. If the board doesn't agree with it,
That makes sense.
10%. So that's what it was before, was 10%.
So initiative process, basically.
And we were trying to contact him just to tell him that's...
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's what he needed
to
do.
Yeah, he would need some signatures.
My email?
Phone number.
The other thing that I've received, and it was received last year and the year before and was never done, was Ron Mayle's oversight committee stuff, which...
Again, we probably need the initiative.
Evidently, he did not listen to the meeting. I can't remember how many months ago, but it was in this room where basically all the board members said, committee's done away with. We don't have time to even start riding that horse.
No.
But he, Bob and I, and spent information. And
I would say it would be the same process if he wants to put that and codify it into the... stuff, he's going to have to put that to a vote, and he's going to have to get and go through the initiative process and get 30 lot signatures, right?
Well, but he's made, or the board has the option.
Or the board could put
I think we need to officially make, and I will make a motion, we reject the proposal to have a conflict of interest policy.
There's more to that than that.
Yeah,
either.
We had that was a vote thing last year, and I don't think we can rescind what the last year's board did. It would have to be a vote thing. But us as a board can't.
What did they vote on?
They didn't conflict of an interest, but they didn't count a lot of votes.
They didn't count votes.
Yeah.
So that's a null vote. I think in my mind,
we voted if that's
yes,
the case.
Right. So I think for now we can make an official motion that is tabled, and I make that motion.
How long ago did he ask?
Well, there's a couple of different things. There's an DSROA oversight committee charter, and
he had that last year.
And then he had an annual report, and he had it for the past 2 years, and he was kind of getting after me because, you know, he said he had given it to Candace and she didn't do anything on it, and now.
My question is, how long have you guys had this information? You've had it for a long time, haven't acted upon it. Now you're telling me he's got to go get 15 signatures.
Well, part of this is brand new this week.
Are we talking about oversight or this one?
The oversight.
Oversight.
I just got it this week.
We haven't had a
sent other things throughout the year.
And we've discussed it in almost every board meeting throughout the year. But when we make a motion or we make a decision and people still keep carrying on as if there is no oversight committee.
Committees serve at the pleasure of the board. And there's no committees right now.
Right.
They don't exist.
The board members, in fact, some have resigned because they were unwilling to even work. If that was a possibility, they didn't want to be part of it, and they resigned. That's why we've had a hard time having enough board members. Other board members have said, in this list of nominees, or the list that was there, most of them said, not interested.
We had 10 decline. We had 17 nominated and 10 decline.
I guess the problem I have about the whole thing is a conflict of interest policy for trustee positions is one thing. And there are laws that govern that and there are issues that govern that. So if I'm a board member and I'm speaking for the membership at large, I need to respect conflict of interest. However, his process went into a conflict of interest for owners. So if you were an owner, your votes couldn't be counted on certain subjects. And all owners had to declare in writing what their business interests were each year and fill out a form. And there are lots of things that, number one, wouldn't happen. Number two, are really a breach of a lot of people's privacy to even discuss when they're not even in a trustee position. And so, you know, I had serious objection, and I think that there are a lot of legal objections that could be raised. It would be as if you said, you know, Barbara Bush, you cannot vote for your husband because it's a conflict of interest. So you're not allowed to vote. And of course, as a lot owner, I'm entitled to my opinion and all the conflict of interest that I want.
That's right.
You know, and to argue those points and to, through a democratic process, try to influence those. To take those rights away, my voting rights away as a member, I think is, you know, something that is foreign to me in every way. And so that's what I objected to about the entire groundworking of this thing. I don't mind a simple conflict of interest policy that says, you know, you're in a position of trustee. It's our policy you need to disclose your conflicts of interest and or excuse yourself from voting on those subjects as they come up. But anything that's much longer than that paragraph, I think, is asking for us to pit each other against possible, you know, issues. And so, you know, that's not something that as a board member I can support, that we have an unauthorized committee off trying to generate in any way, shape, or form. And so every time that I've had a chance to speak against it, I have. And I that's how I feel about it. I think the vote that did pass largely did pass because most people didn't even understand what the issues were. And the votes that didn't get counted, I wasn't involved in.
What? What, if anything, do we do with typing?
Well, let's say number one issue. Do we have an unresolved issue about if a currently have a past, not past, conflict of interest of policy?
Well, we were supposed to get the ballots and
so
recount them.
We need to recount the votes and ask that question.
Yes.
Okay. So we should do that. And if we counted all the votes, where does it stand?
I'm not doing the selective vote counting.
Right.
Okay, so we still need those ballots. So you need to get those.
We probably either
so
need to do that, or we either need to put something on this ballot to re-vote that issue.
Just declare that previous vote was invalid because the votes weren't counted.
I think until we have recounted the votes, we can't put it on this ballot coming. I don't.
So you just have it as a special vote?
Probably. If it calls for it. We don't even know if it calls for it, do we?
We wait so long.
Been trying to get them. They've been in Boston trying to get the people that were in charge. At first, I thought it was Barbara that had it, but it turned out it was Phil Hall has it.
Previous board members.
I'm not against whatever's going on. But you see the appearance of it.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
We've been trying. Before the next annual meeting, all of a sudden we're saying what we decided 11 months ago is not
happening. That was my feeling. I mean, I don't know what the issues are, but if somebody wanted to put an issue on this, onto the ballot, and then all once when it's too late for them to go back and get signatures, you know.
Well, a lot of us kind of are coming into this midstream.
Yeah, I know.
If it did pass, then why didn't they the very next week send out, here's the form everybody has to fill out to disclose their...
Yeah, it never got implemented.
I mean,
the problem, and then they all left.
Some of the votes weren't counted.
Yes, they weren't.
Why wasn't that?
But I'm just saying...
It was a declaration by the person that was in charge of the votes at that time.
And the people's votes that weren't counted were happy with that?
No. I personally was...
Absolutely not.
It
was
protested month after month after month, and then somebody resigned, and then we had no board, and then we tried to get more. But I really think, like Larry said, I think that's the heart of the reason why we had an interim... presidency change and board change and
because
so many things
unfairly
because,
to begin with.
It really was, as Lynette said, an un-American thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Alan.
The problem with Phil is that he doesn't want to touch the ballots because then he feels like, you know, there's sealed.
Compromise.
It's compromised. So he wants, you know, he wants the bank manager of the bank to be able to get it from the safety deposit box and then notarize it and then, you know, send it registered mail to our P.O. box and then have you and Larry pick it up out of the P.O. box.
Gotcha.
And that's what we were trying to get done.
Which just continues on. I mean, there's reason behind his paranoia of not wanting to touch it. I have the same thing. We go down to the post office, Linda and I. Who's to say there's not 10 or 200 members that say, well, Linda and Larry changed them when they got here?
I think at the moment we can say as a board there's enough cloud on this issue that we currently do not have an adoption process for that policy. And that
the thing that could be said, though, is Bob has made effort, Candace made an effort, I've made an effort, every board member has made an effort to obtain those, but also implement as much transparency and any factor, any good point of having a conflict of interest. In fact, we all had forms at one time that we signed just saying, you know, my name is Larry Clarkson, I'm on the board. I am a contractor. I push dirt and I build houses. And if that is in conflict with Deer Springs, so be it. I hunt and guide deer hunts and elk hunts, and if that's in conflict, so be it. Did you, I mean, I don't remember exactly who was involved because we've had so many people on and off, but did you sign one of those? That was just before.
Did not sign
no.
So we've made an effort.
So are we going to have those ballots available and counted at the annual meeting? Is that what we're going to do?
I think that's one discussion that we can have, at least just as a part of the report of the season. Here's where we are today, and here's why. Here's what happened.
Well, does anybody know what the vote was?
State of the Union.
No.
I've got them written down. I mean, I wrote them down as they were announced at the meeting.
Well, what was the vote for and against?
I don't know.
The
was it
close? To amend bylaws, you have to have a two-thirds majority vote. Well, it didn't even receive a majority vote.
The bylaws.
And then all the anything Clarkson name on it was taken out.
Was discounted. So it would have been a no pass.
So we know that if all the votes were counted,
it would
have failed.
Yes.
Okay.
Without them counted, it still legally failed because it did not receive two-thirds.
Right.
To adopt the policy
right now
and amendment to our bylaws.
Right now we can say that unless we find evidence that it passed by a two-thirds vote, it's not implemented. And we're continuing to research that and hope to have that research for these soon.
Fine. And the way it all came about was
Bob seconded that.
Wait, I got to write that. What I seconded here.
What was the second?
Okay, so
you're buying me lunch.
Okay, the motion is that at this point in time, until we have evidence that it passed by a two-thirds vote, which we do not have, we're not implementing the policy. And we will continue to try to seek resolution to the actual vote and hope to have that done soon.
We partially did not address a lot of this simply because we had so many other conflicts going on with a three-member board of seven. no manager family, no power, no computer, no phone, no water, no insulation.
We got to eat before we can vote. That's the rule, huh?
Yeah. Okay, so motion made by Dirk.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Dustin. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
I did, what a part of Ron's request was that this be discussed at this meeting, which it has been. I actually printed individual copies of the same exact theme for everybody 2 or 3 months ago, and Bob's brought it to meeting several times. I will print off a copy to have at the annual meeting that people can read and go through it. He has some great ideas, and I mean, everything looks good on paper, but like Dirk said, you've got to eat before you can
practical application.
You know,
and I think at the annual meeting, we should also probably put on our agenda a call for people that want to volunteer for committees and a list of committees.
Well, that's
and,
one
and,
thing.
But outline what those committees are, how they work, who they report to, and what their authority and responsibility is. And really, they serve at the pleasure of the board. They're there to help the board. They report to the board, but they don't have
authority.
And they don't have any authority to act. They basically provide recommendations or volunteer work to the board. That's their job. And so that has to be outlined because if you know, like.
Ron.
If Ron thinks that he's on a board that doesn't exist, we need to make sure that he knows that.
Some of that will change, though, from the beginning of the meeting to the end of the meeting, just because of who's in office. And who's
but we should have an explanation of that, and I think a call for people to come in and help. People that we need more help. The ranch needs
well,
more
my,
people to help. And
I absolutely agree.
That.
My comment back to Ron was simply, I put it in kind of football terms, to run the ranch, to play our team, you've got to have a quarterback and a receiver and a center and a blocker, and we haven't had that. We've got multiple people lining up as coaching staff, and we get another new coach and another new coach and another new coach, and they're out there talking to nobody on the field.
Yeah, no team.
So, and the more people are coaching, the less people say, hey, I'm willing to step out on the field.
It's just a small community, and his opening statement of the policy of said something that we have no other interaction or relationship with each other than we have ownership in Deer Springs Ranch, and that just doesn't fly for Kanab, Utah in general. And so if you want somebody that maybe has a little bit of ability to help on things, they're probably likely to have a conflict of interest at the same time. And so it's... it's a well-meaned attempt, I'll say that. No problem with the intention. But.
I at the meeting several months ago, I thought at that point we were thinking of a special assessment just for 1 year.
We're thinking exploring all kinds of ideas.
Yeah, we've talked about that as a potential.
Okay, but at this annual meeting, if it is not discussed and voted on, it would be another year before you could do that.
Well, here's what we're probably faced with doing. I don't think that we're in a position by Monday morning to be able to give Linda, here's three nice budget proposals and here's what they ought to be. I think all we can do is go to the annual meeting. In between now and the annual meeting, we can have some presentations so that we can, for discussion purposes,
a special vote later.
Hey, here it is. And based on kind of some bill that we get at the annual meeting, we can send out a letter for a special vote to the members to say, you know, here's some of the things that were discussed and the direction that we received. At the meeting, we've got these two proposals or three proposals. What do you think? And in between now and the annual meeting, we probably need some committees to work up some real budgets and some real plans and maybe even a rendering or here's, you know, the reasons why this would be good and useful, and here's, the concerns if we don't do it, so that there's actually an organized thing. I don't think that's going to happen in between now and Monday morning, no matter what. So I think our best bet is to try to decide who is the pavilion committee, who is the house committee, and how can we, through email or other things, have a 15-minute presentation on each of those subjects made at the annual meeting that's non-binding,
yep,
but would probably still give us some pretty good direction that we could then send out a letter. And the new board could send out the letter with that being there, add their flavor to it.
So with this then, with this ballot, you want me to send out
an agenda.
An agenda.
And on that agenda, if you could put the line item, proposal on pavilion, proposal for ranch house addition, you know.
But not include the proposal should, with this.
Yeah.
Wait, for us to be able to get a real good temperature of what people are willing to do, should we put in an interest or some kind of checkbox that says, we are interested in this, we're willing to vote in funding for this project or this project. It's not binding, it's not saying that we're allowing it. We should put something like that, because if we're not ready to do that, and I agree we're not.
I think Barbara did a survey once like that that said...
We've put stuff in there like that.
If I had to come up with extra funds, which one of the four items would I suggest or something? I know I've seen something like that somewhere. But, yeah, I think there might be quite a few items we'd like to just survey the members. You know, what's your priority? You know, cabin maintenance, road maintenance, or something? I mean,
That's along the lines that survey was, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
But hasn't there been, there's a little bit difference in here. We keep saying pavilion, the house, like that. But hasn't there been a commitment by the members in the house?
Yeah.
That's kind of why I like that, because it's maybe not a voteable issue.
The reason why. We've only been able to make a commitment as far as we've been allowed to do. Beyond that, we have to put it to you guys to say, are you guys really interested? Do you really want to spend the money? Because it's going to be more than what we can legally
As a board, we are only allowed to indebt the ranch to a maximum of $30,000, which we have a loan in place at the bank right now, a credit line, for $30,000. That's not going to do the addition to the ranch house. So we've hesitated to start and go that far and then have something half done,
right,
that doesn't benefit you anyway.
The commitment has still been made by the board. That's why I'm saying that the ranch house has a little bit different emphasis on it than the other projects.
Right.
Sure.
By adding that project to it, I mean, everybody wants a pavilion. That would be cool. But we have an obligation and responsibility right now on the house because of the commitment made to Ole.
Right.
So
but that's the commitment, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's really... That's right.
I'm not talking about us right here. What I'm saying is, as they go forward now, come the meeting, that's got to be explained so they can go forward.
Yeah. Well, and we're in...
I agree with that. I think that's why in a proposal we've got to get more organized, we've got to educate the members, we've got to say, you know, this is really something we have to do. I mean, look at this problem.
And some of these other projects
solved. Here's pictures on the website of you know what, why, if you want to look at them. This problem has to be solved. We've come up with A, B, and C as ways to solve this. Which one of these three would you prefer for us to use? And maybe not even give them the none of the above option on that one. On the pavilion is probably a little bit more of an elective thing. It's probably a little bit more of a, do you want it and are you willing to pay for it?
And do we want to do it over what period of time? Because it's not something you can necessarily, we could fund it all kinds of different ways. And we can say, we can know for this goal over the period of next 3 or 5 years, we can earmark X amount of dollars, put it into a fund, and we build it, and then at that time we execute on it. So there's all kinds of ways we can do it.
Well,
if we don't do it now,
the pavilion could be possibly also funded by at least partially or substantially by reservation fees. You know, I want to reserve it for our family reunion Tuesday lunch.
And after the fact, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it probably almost in some ways pay for itself in some ways because I think you'd have enough interest, even just people from coming up from town. If you put it in a pretty enough area, you'd have a lot of interest. So
what was the response to your request for the increase in when you sent your annual dues? How much did that generate above the normal annual dues?
It didn't even generate more above what the cost.
So it's very minimal.
But we increased the annual dues the maximum amount we could,
right,
which was not keeping up with the amount of prices increasing. So the net gain to the ranch to have spendable funds was nothing.
Yeah. No, but what, Tinlin, there was also a request.
Well, we also said we'd like to have contributions, and verbally, almost every single member said, that's a great idea. I would like to, or I will donate.
Yeah.
People that actually stuck out green paper was probably three.
No, we had more than that. We had about eight.
How much money is in there?
And I only did half.
2,800.
Yeah, and that's a drop in the bucket.
But that's not to say those that said we will contribute aren't going to. I still, everybody I've talked to said, yeah, I still think it's a great idea, and I'd like to contribute, but what are we doing?
A letter and
we want to see what they're contributing.
Yeah, we had a plan.
What has kind of changed is the board made a commitment, which basically we failed on, and it's almost like it's we committed to improve the housing for Ole's family for this winter.
Well, see, and everything that all happened after last annual meeting too.
Right, right.
And showing up
and a wholly new board as well, almost.
Yeah, and so the people don't know him, don't understand him.
Right.
You know, I was fortunate enough to meet him last December or something like that.
So as far as the board committing to Ole to do something, we did.
Yeah.
Some of these board members weren't even members at the time, but the board said, we'll get housing for you.
No,
it hasn't happened. Now it's a matter of it's going back to the members to say, is this something you want? Whether it's him or his family or another family, are we fooling ourselves to think we're going to get legitimate management at the ranch? Is Ole and his family what we want? What are we willing to do to keep it? Not what's the board willing to do. What are we all as members willing to do?
But see, most of the people don't understand what he's done because they don't, you know, a lot of them don't go there on a regular basis. You know, I go there on a fairly regular basis. And I can see stuff happening all the time.
One option I didn't hear you guys discuss that Ole had mentioned was new windows, new doors, and the garden cabin works. That's not a huge expenditure compared to building a new house. Is everybody willing to vote that short term, give them that, let them use it as a house? Because you can have a lot of people going, I want the garden cabin the third week of August.
That's the problem we've run into is we had to move them out because there were so many people that had a problem with
I think we as a board and even members, we would be willing to say,
well,
tough luck, members, you don't get the garden cabin.
Yeah, but I agree. I like this suggestion because we kicked them out not because we didn't present that option, but because we had an arbitrary date that we said we're going to allow reservations from this time on.
Right.
We never really did this say, hey, until something's done, indefinitely, the garden cabin is no longer in the reservation pool.
Pushes the
which then is, yeah, I think that's not a bad idea to say.
Well, the thing, I think we're down the road. I think that water's already under the bridge. Whether we said, okay, we're going to do a little bit on the garden cabin to make it livable, I don't think you're going to get Ken and the family back to move into the garden cabin.
You have $30,000 to make that garden cabin.
I think you could throw $100,000 at the garden cabin, and she'd say, look, you guys have made this commitment and not kept it. You've made this commitment, not kept it. You've made this commitment, not kept it. No, I'm not going for that. I don't care if you gold plate the floor. Do what you said, or when it's done, we'll be back. That's when she left the first time, She made us a list and said, when the phone works, the computer works, and there's power and this, I'll be back. And so that's when a few spent night and day out there for a week and a half straight and got things we thought working. At least
working.
We fooled her long enough to come back.
Get her back for a little while.
That's why she's
during the busy season.
Yeah,
she's made a commitment to leave because her kids are going to school in Anemone.
We also got a big problem with the communication with the school here. In the past, they've run a bus.
Yes.
And they would refuse to this year.
They did.
So that's one of the big.
That because no Robinson?
Aren't they required by law?
Well, that's a battle that
we could
fight, but that was their
federal law slips in here too. Not just Utah law. I think you want to go back to Anemone.
Well, they just the school system said they would not run the bus, and so Ole or Kenda, somebody would be driving those kids every morning and then picking them up every night, and it ended up being a 8-10 hour day for school kids every day.
Like two or three in the Robinson family.
But most of them are in town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they sold their place. So
I knew they had, but I didn't know they were back in here.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
They have a good manager. What are they willing to do? Or do they want to keep replacing?
That's the problem.
Yep.
Well, and there are some other issues. As I've gone through the ranch house a little bit to do this, it has a lot of what I'll call deferred maintenance. And so part of this addition is to reskin the entire exterior, put a roof on the entire building, make a nice western-looking porch on the front of the building. And so it is more than just an addition. It's a total, revamp. And so it would be a nice addition then that would take that, 50 years into the future. And I think it's a good thing to do, but I don't think us as a board have a unanimous opinion on this is how we should fund it. And I think that's what somehow we need to at least have a consensus. Here's two or three options that as a board we'd recommend to the members, and I am a little bit embarrassed to say that we aren't to that point. And part of it was because we weren't to the point and still really haven't had a bid and stuff like that, but I mean, that's where we're at. We need to come up with a proposal, which I would hope we could do in between now and the annual meeting, for at least some discussion and direction by those that are there that could go on a tour right then and see what was happening and at least get some grassroots movement going at that point in time.
Keep him comfy.
Yeah.
So is the addition going to be part of the proposal or a proposal in the voting process? And or building a whole new structure for Ole?
I think we're going to have a special separate vote because we're not ready.
Right.
So we're going to have to...
Right now, they'll just say no.
So we're going to have to sell it at the annual meeting and discuss it. And I think what we should do is on our ballot...
So where you're going then is the model of the existing structure first?
Right. Yes.
Right.
And not even talking about the... other house out in the field.
Yeah. Well, the pavilion, let's call
it
that. Yeah, that is what used to be the house in the field.
That which would open it up to possibly not putting it right there at the headquarters area, maybe putting it somewhere else.
Yeah.
The pavilion.
And I would put it in a pretty place.
It needs to be scenic with some grass and not weeds.
Trees and,
no shade and all that kind of stuff.
One really pretty place is where Ole's had his tent for the saddles, keeping them out of the rain up in the big pines. I think that's a beautiful spot. I also...
Not year-round, though.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. But you can't have your office up there. You know,
No.
No, this
no, then it would be something else.
I mean, a pavilion, center block.
I could see a conflict.
Of still building.
If we're going to just open it up to outside people, you're going to get all those people up Middle Canyon say, I don't want people up on that private road.
Yeah, you'd have to have it down here somewhere, down at
the airstrip.
Near the airstrip or somewhere.
Yeah. What about the big circle area at the first set of cabs there, that whole open area in between all the cabs?
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
Competing in the resources, you've got your power, your water.
Yeah. Even electricity if the generator's going.
The
cabin there that would also make it more advantageous for
that's close.
You know, in general, I think we need to make some gathering areas. You know, even like up at
really need it.
Trout ponds, we need to make some gathering areas that have some good parking and stuff, and some, you know, shade and some place where you can do just a few basic things.
Yeah.
And so.
I've always thought we need to have
two or three of those kind of
something like that.
Things.
There's a lot of improvement ideas, and as the ranch continues to evolve into, I mean, we have more people building
and
enjoying or living full time at the ranch now than ever before, and that's going to continue to increase, which changes the use and the demographics of everything. There's endless ideas and possibilities, but the problem is at the end of the day, even those of us that are on a board, when we walk out the door, we go back to being an accountant or go back to hooking up telephones or go back to pushing dirt, and we have an hour a day or a day a week that we can think about and talk about and try, and it might be putting out fires or getting people out of a flood that week that ate up all of our Deer Springs time, and we get back together a month later, and everybody else goes, well, why hasn't this happened? What's going on?
Yeah. It's money. But, you know, if we could figure out a way to make even a multi-year type of commitment where we put money in a bucket
and we execute on those things, and we do it because I don't think we've historically even had a plan to basically say, okay, well, after 10 years or after 20 years, we need to replace XYZ cabins or redo cabins or do this improvement. It's all been what's the emergencies this year or what's the things of this year, and then all the money gets eaten up and then nothing happens. And so what happens is
day-to-day.
Every year we repeat this process, but we're never investing in the ranch.
We need a 10-year plan.
And I think we need to do that.
Yeah, didn't Phil Hall do a 5-year plan?
But still, I never saw it. So we need to have a method, a monetary method, where we can say this amount goes here and it gets executed here.
I think a key thing from right, that's the problem.
Yeah, and so we should have that, and it's in the budget, and we just put it in.
Well, our board was originally set up, I think, so that it had alternating shifts.
And that's what I was just going to ask.
You know, and but when you get a situation where it's a new board, and their main objective is to undo everything last year's board did, I mean, we're just floundering, and we need a 10-year plan. We need some buy-in and commitment, and people that would like to be on the board because they'd like to further that plan along, and instead of, you know, vote that plan out. And I think it, somehow we got to poll the members to find here's our priorities, here's what our commitment is, and then we'll draw in board members that, you know, are committed to that.
Yeah, we need to figure out a way that we can use our dues to invest in the ranch rather than just putting into things that don't last every year. So all this money goes poof, right?
Right.
Instead of investing in the ranch and putting into new things,
according
it
to
just
the original
goes poof.
Plan, should those who are running again, Dustin and John, be considered two-year candidates and not have to be voted upon?
No.
No.
Because we're done in a special election, so we got to put it up to everybody. But the new people need to be.
But you should say this person's 2-year term.
That's what I was going to recommend is we have a little box out the side.
The
top three vote getters stay 2 years. The problem I see with that, and this may, I mean, tell me whether you think this is going to happen or not. When we have a situation where we've got seven people for seven slots, people usually either say, well, they're going to get it anyway and don't vote, or they vote for all of them. We've either done it where the top vote getters stay for a 2-year term. I think we should, rather than let that just randomly happen, put a box on there and have it state vote. You know, instead of just put a check mark, put 1 year or 2 years, and then that'd be a nightmare.
No, it needs to be the same for everybody. Yeah, that's confusing. I'd say
Board
of Directors for this year is 2 years.
I mean, it's worked in the past. Of course, you haven't ever had. I don't think this is quite a big
situation. Yeah. I don't remember.
How it happened was Candace and I were the only two because of Larry Walters resigning, and we appointed somebody. The board can appoint a replacement in an absence. That's the only time. All other members have to be voted on either at an annual meeting or a special meeting. Annual meeting, you vote a normal term. Special meetings only fill the position until the next appointed annual meeting.
Okay.
So everybody on the board is only appointed until this annual meeting, or voted on to fill the position until this annual meeting. My term, which has been carrying forward, ends at this annual meeting. So every single person is going off the board.
You better do it right.
So how do we do it?
So just to vote for any of these people is for 2 years.
I mean, that's what it is.
But then you're always in a 2-year cycle.
Yeah.
You want some.
Or do you want to make it 3 years?
No, some two, some one.
Some will be one.
That's the way it's
some one.
You never lost the whole board at one
every time.
Yeah.
No.
So should I call each one of these individually and ask, do you want to run for 1 or 2 years? And then
no. Yeah, how do you do that then?
Why?
It's the way it's been done in the past is
they're willing to run for 2 years.
Yeah, that's what I
got to make that declaration.
But if we have some,
but we may only give them 1 year.
I
think the problem is we have so few people that are running to begin with. We'll be lucky to fill all our slots. We won't even fill our slots. So I don't think that's going to work. I think you're going to have to say people running for this, they're going to be in there for 2 years. It's just there's no other way to do it.
But
we'd have people from previous.
What's the bylaws?
But we don't have anybody from previous.
What's the bylaws say?
You call in a half hour.
What do you look? What do you look?
Bylaws ever imagine? Yeah. What does the bylaws say?
I need to know about these questions.
The only people we have is we have five people that have said that they would run.
Five. Out of seven.
That's right.
So you're going to have to run short.
Right? We'll have four.
I need to decide whether I want a divorce or not.
Right. I think that's the way we
this well,
Taylor says.
Well, just looking at the names so far that have been turned in and have accepted or have been unreachable, I don't believe Scott Smith fits the criteria of owning for 1 year.
He is 2 days. 2 days under.
2 days short of being a 1 year owner.
Two days short.
I would say if
and
you want to.
He's a half owner, isn't he?
Half owner.
He is, but that's not. I mean, we have many members that own.
I wanted to know how to count those votes.
Well, the lot has a vote. The unit has a vote.
It's one lot.
Whether it's
one
owned
lot,
by
one
person or 15 people, it's the Deer Springs Owners Association membership has a vote.
Okay.
Whoever's the lot.
Responsible for.
To get that vote.
That's right.
Okay.
One lot, one vote.
Got it.
Hey, Larry.
Yes, sir.
There is stuff in the bylaws about terms. So you guys, I can read it to you, or you can, figure it out on your own.
I'll read it real quick and see
what. Okay. It's B, annual meeting. Reads as the organizational meeting of the association will be held in June 1977. Of course, it doesn't apply. Five directors will be elected at the first organizational meeting by written ballot of the membership, two for 2-year terms and three for 1-year terms. two receiving the highest vote will serve two-year terms. Each year thereafter, the appropriate number of directors is to be elected each for a two-year term. Now, obviously, I need to go ahead to the point where you guys changed all that in the addendum, so hang on a second.
That's been changed to seven, right?
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That was the first thing that came across, though.
Yeah, I think the same principle applies. We're
starting.
So is it four and three?
Four and three.
Four and three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should be three and four. Three high getters would be 2 years, four would be
The other way around.
The other way around.
It's 4-2.
Three carried forward for two, and two, the two low vote getters were 1 year term.
Okay.
So it would be a four and a three.
Four and a three, so 4-2.
Following
two.
That logic.
That'll work if you've got more than the number of people running.
Yeah.
If somebody votes for everybody, then they're all going to come out the same. So
yeah, but they still don't.
That'll be
too
light. They don't. There's still numbers.
Well, I don't like Dirk. I'm not going to vote for all. Right.
Yeah, we saw that last time.
Yeah, we did.
Put their names in a hat and draw.
Make a lottery. Have it understood ahead of time. There'd be a lottery for those who get 2 year terms, and the others get one.
Well, we're starting over.
I would say if in the event there is a tie, then we probably can do something like that. But unless there's a tie,
I don't think there's any chance we're going to have.
But
we're
people fighting for one versus two. You'll be lucky if
well,
we get enough people.
The situation I'm looking at is Scott Smith is 2 days short of being eligible to be a board member.
Okay.
If he was 2 seconds short of being a board member,
Sharp.
We'd have people throwing lawsuits at us
if we put
him on there. So he's off.
But the day after the annual meeting, or 2 days after, you can
appoint
him.
Exactly.
For a 1 year term.
But he
could be appointed.
Have you heard from Dean? You just haven't heard at all from Dean DeMille.
There's no way Dean would.
I
know Dean.
I know him, and
that's no way.
I talked with Brent yesterday, and he was still.
Yes,
he's probably got a stomachache. That's why he didn't, because he's worried about it. I don't know.
I don't think he's doing it either.
He's happy to come in and comment.
Yeah.
He'll help out all his capacities,
right.
But he doesn't want to be on the
board.
Well, he does enough for us.
Absolutely.
I don't. He does so much.
Are we about
for us.
Done? Larry?
I just need to know about Brent and Larry.
And anybody here in the audience.
Well, Taylor just volunteered.
Whoa, baby. Good job, Taylor.
Hey, can I stay over here somewhere? I'm over there at home tonight.
She was nominated. She was nominated, and she goes, oh, I don't know.
Taylor,
yeah, I already know what
she said.
I guess
I got the
camera. So can I put her back on now?
No, we got Taylor. Taylor's.
We can serve both of them.
Oh.
I got
the
bylaws,
name? Or is that
complicated? I'd say one vote, one lot.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Don't you guys only have one lot?
Yeah.
I thought you had two.
Yeah, it'd be one or the other. Totally out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No docking you sideways. Absolutely.
If two members, you have a lot.
Yeah, you have a family of seven, and everybody goes on the board. I don't think that works.
I see. I
have six that are willing.
Thank you. I really commend you.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
22 nominated. 11 declined, 2 not eligible, 3 no decision, and that's the 3 that I just haven't heard from. So, but there were 22 nominations, and would you make that a record in the notes that there were 22 nominations? Because I wrote that on here, some nominations were declined by the nominee, but they need to know.
But they need to also understand is those that decline, although Some have perfectly legitimate reasons and good intentions. That also gives them the little, what's it on Survivor, when you get
immunity?
It gives the board immunity against listening to that person whether they choose to or not. You've been nominated and you continually refuse, but you come and want to
rag,
moan and complain. La 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 la.
Cone of silence for you.
No, we will listen to anybody, but it's hard to listen to somebody that just all they want to do is talk.
Yeah. I'll see Brent today, I think.
Yeah. And really, that's what
I
we need is more participation.
I'll call you if he wants to run. I'm sure he isn't, but I'll verify it.
Thank you.
So if you don't hear from
them, so I'm going to change this to some nominations were declined. I'm going to put many nominations were declined because we ended up with six.
Six declined?
Who nominated him?
He did.
He nominated himself?
It's okay.
Yeah, you can do that.
And if not, I'll nominate him.
Yeah. I can nominate him too.
There are a few of us crazy ones around.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know about Brent. Larry is still...
My wife is...
So that's a decline?
Hey, even if you knew my cat better, it's me. It's a 20-footer.
Oh, wow.
Got too bad.
This will be a first if you decline.
A first?
Mm-hmm.
Of me declining?
No.
I've declined before and been...
No. If you decline, I think this will be the very first time we would have a board without a Clarkson on it.
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
No. Has it been 1 year? Okay.
And we count Scott.
No, oh, Scott, okay. Is Scott your son? Okay.
That's right. I forgot. Okay.
Yeah. I
can't.
I.
What about her?
I've got to answer this.
That would have been a good plus. But.
Okay, so when I do this, then I'm just having a letter in telling about the things that will be happening, but I'm not putting any of the other things that we've talked about.
That's
on
right.
That will happen at the meeting. Okay.
Now, but we'll note that in the agenda that we're attaching to that.
Yes, yes.
And can you see if you can find an old agenda? Because I'm really strapped.
I shall.
Okay, because I really don't...
Can I mail it to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where are you going? Are you headed...
I'm going to go back to Deer Springs.
To Deer Springs. Okay. I thought you were here for a while longer, but I didn't know.
Wednesday.
Okay.
Why don't we take a vote on whether...
Yeah.
You don't get to vote.
Well, he can vote. I don't think it'll matter.
I think we'll still over.
Maybe if you're
president.
Yeah. What if you're just
a
person?
I want to take one word off of my contract, and that's take, right there.
Take out.
I want to take out.
What does it read? What does it say? What does it mean?
CSR Water Resources. Take is necessary to coordinate delivery of all governmental agency requiring water samples. Take.
Scratch out take and.
I thought we already talked about that anyway.
Rephrase
that. You're just an oversight of that or something.
Yeah, we had already discussed that.
Is
that the latest one?
I thought it was.
We had already gone over that.
Just coordinate delivery of all.
Right.
I guarantee if it says take in there, I will end up doing it.
Okay.
I thought I'd change that.
Delegate.
Should I put today's date on here?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there any way the rule where we're allowed to get water, where we're allowed to haul water from, and with the wild land.
We
thing, I think that that should Louis. Be absolutely told to every single member, so if they are planning to get the bills in the next 50 years, they need to know about the wildland use interface, whatever it's called. It's a very long thing. And falling water and what's required.
Linda, do we have anything in our book right now on that?
Which book?
The book that you put together in the cabin about hauling water.
No, not yet.
From the upper, but
it's set up there.
But nobody knows about it. I don't know about it, and I've been there 30 years.
I think we have, but it certainly can be redone because it's not common knowledge.
After a while, we couldn't advertise picking up water.
Can you get it at the 40,000 gallon?
No,
it's right there at
the
ranch.
Right there at the ranch.
The ranch house, and then also up at the spring,
which I think we should. I think we should lock that up.
Yeah,
we.
No. They put a new spigot out. That one's padlocked. We have another spigot out there.
It's only overflow.
That lower tank.
No.
This is spring feeds the lower tank. That's where we're getting the water from.
Well, we don't, like I say, there's not enough water there for people to be hauling water.
Okay. Right.
So if everybody understands that, then I think that would be a good thing to go with what FDA is doing, at the annual meeting to be part of the package or go out.
We should have some sort of newsletter that gets passed out at the annual meeting, and if people don't attend, then you
Linda can do that because she can print.
The problem is that
I don't think
they don't have power.
She's gone.
Expecting her to do that is not going to happen. So that's not going to happen. It's going to have to fall to somebody else.
That's a president's job.
I know you can overwork Linda.
Yeah. But I don't think Linda's going to do that. That's not going to happen.
It hasn't happened yet.
So you're saying to have a handout newsletter just available at the meeting,
and that the people that don't attend get
mailed after the annual meeting.
Yes. Yeah. And that gives us more time to do it.
Something like the water. All those kind of issues could be put in.
Things like
in the December billing letter.
Yeah.
On the ranch,
You could do that.
Slow down, wind down.
And take care of
give them something to do.
Yeah, right off the bat. Right.
Okay.
Don't give you guys them. Then they'll pass it off to Kenda, who won't do anything, and then we'll
round and round. Okay, anything else? I'll call you.
Yeah, you better check with the license.
Just call you next Saturday.
The 29th?
So we're going to put in on these, we're going to talk about the wording on what we're going to do for the survey scenario.
Survey.
Do you want to email that back and forth tonight and tomorrow, or what do you want to do?
Survey for what?
The proposals. We need to. This is the easiest way to gauge interest if this is even going to work or not. If we put it here.
But I think if we don't have the proper
wording
explanation, which I think you really need at the meeting,
we need to know better what
that it's
about.
Going to just get.
So then we table that entirely after.
Don't do a survey because I think you really need to bring that up at the annual meeting. Because
I'll tell you what, I mean, the percentage of people at the annual meeting is
true
small compared to who's out there.
Yeah.
We can send letters around, though. I mean, we need to spend some time getting that.
Looking what an organized questionnaire and survey would be that would have enough, you know,
content.
Content. Somebody would know what they're asking, what they're trying to answer.
Okay. So we're going to put it off to the next board, basically. Okay.
Well, we're pushed up against a Monday deadline.
Yeah. Okay. What will you're going to take this exact form, change names,
yeah, I'm taking
delete whatever's whoever's not, and we will have copies at the annual meeting.
In a different colored paper.
We'll create a map that we can check off whoever's going to be responsible for.
Just a list, really.
Verifying that there's one vote. I still think it's a good idea to have a separate paper for every single vote.
Well, because
that.
No,
we said that. We said we modify that.
Okay.
One ballot for per lot.
One ballot per lot.
If you're mostly left on it, not a big issue anyway.
Right.
And so we modified it. So we're going to take out the lots, too, and just make it for this lot, and then one.
So what are you going to do about proxy?
I would say that the proxies need to fill out. If you want me to vote your lot, I need to have the paper, and
right.
I fill out my lot, and anybody else that wants me to vote, I have a single paper that I
for each one.
I fill out Lynette's, and I fill out Linda's, and I fill out Dustin's.
Right.
I'm not going to vote and say, I've got nine proxies, and here's how I vote those nine.
Yeah.
Right.
That
way,
if
we got nine votes, we got nine ballots. And then they can look on the map and say, wait a minute, you can't vote Lynette's because we've already crossed her off. And it should, maybe on that map we can print up that it can, we can vote or indicate if that vote was, if that lot was voted by the owner or by.
I can do that with two colors.
That way we can just know that.
And, you know, here's the nice thing is at the end of the day on that, it's very easy to just mail out the results after the fact. We can put that in the newsletter.
Yeah.
Say, here's the results, here's who voted for who.
Yeah, because it was a big mystery. Last one.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of this being a mystery. It shouldn't be.
No. Well, it's been fun.
All right.
Anybody call make a motion to adjourn the
motion to have it adjourned.
Second it. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All right, thanks for joining us on the phone.